I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening just for a few moments to the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 9. And we're going to read one verse, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now these wonderful words of promise, the wonderful words of prophetic promise of a Messiah, were written in the context of difficult days. And they were also written prophetically that when this glorious light would shine, the people were walking in darkness. It was a difficult day. There was much corruption. There was much darkness. There was much religious confusion at that time. And only a very few people were really looking by faith for the Messiah at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ came. And so we read the people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And so this evening, and we live in these difficult days, and we might say somewhat dark days really, there is a light. There is a light which shines into the darkness, and it is the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And here we're given some most wonderful names for the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But I want us to look most particularly at the beginning at the words, and the government will be upon his shoulder. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, speaking of the Son of God, coming in the form of flesh, a child is born, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, in Christ's day, there was a tradition in the marriage ceremony when the bridegroom arrived to meet his bride, and they would stand together, much like they do in our wedding services. But during the marriage, the bride would place her veil upon the shoulders of the bridegroom. And then the words, the government shall be upon his shoulders, would then be recited. And the symbolism of the veil placed on the bridegroom's shoulder with these words meant that the bride was submitting willingly in love to the headship and authority of the bridegroom, who would love her, and as Paul said, in a Christian sense, as Christ loves the church. And the bridegroom, therefore, was to be committed to providing, protecting, and caring for his bride with sincere love. And this is a picture for us of Christ and the church. The bride, the church, makes this statement in faith, putting the veil of their lives on the shoulders of the heavenly bridegroom, believing and trusting in a heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ the Lord. And in a world of turmoil, in a world which is politically and financially in deep trouble, and socially, let us look to Christ. He alone has authority over all. He can ensure and build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It may be that as you are looking forward to 2021, you are doing so with trepidation and fear. There is much unknown. Perhaps with uncertainty, perhaps in a spirit of heaviness, not knowing how matters will turn out for you. And my question is this evening, quite simply, have you laid by faith the veil of your life on the shoulders of your heavenly bridegroom? Have you laid by faith the veil of your life on the heavenly bridegroom who will never leave you or forsake you, the one who is above all others? Here is where true peace of mind is found. It can only be found by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. The government is upon his shoulders. It's an appropriate issue for us this evening when we consider the current state of our government. Jesus Christ takes responsibility for the soul. He takes responsibility for your sin to deal with it in a way which is satisfying to God's justice, in a way which is complete and sure. And he takes responsibility for your eternal well-being. He takes responsibility for your relationship with the Father, because upon his shoulders is the burden of your sin, your spiritual well-being, and your relationship with God as you trust in him. The government is upon his shoulders. And so this commitment of the Saviour was made before time in eternity. We saw this morning, and we read in Isaiah 59:16, he saw that there was no man. He was wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He saw that there was no man. There was no man on earth who could satisfy the Father's justice. And so he came willingly to be our Saviour and take upon himself the cause of the church, to redeem, to cleanse, to reconcile, to intercede, to give grace to serve for God's glory, to provide and guide and protect and deliver and ultimately lead us to a glorious inheritance in heaven. And all this wonderful work, this awesome responsibility for millions of souls, was placed upon Christ's shoulders. And the church places its veil upon the shoulders of Christ. The government will be upon his shoulders. And this is helpful for us as we look to the future as a local church. Always remember that the government is upon Christ's shoulders. And as we keep looking to Christ and believing in him and being guided by him, by his words, his example, the word of God, we will be graciously helped as long as we remember that the government is upon his shoulders. It is his church. He's died for the church. He's given his life for the church. The government is upon his shoulders. But if we are to take this verse as a verse of encouragement this evening, a verse of assurance this evening, my dear friend, have you laid the veil of your life upon his shoulders? All those concerns you have, all those unknowns you have, all those fears you have, all that sense of failure you might have, the past in your life, have you just come to the Lord Jesus just as you are, as a child? And have you come to him in this marriage ceremony that we read, which it is typified here, whereupon the bride lays upon the bridegroom the veil, her veil, in symbolism of trust in the bridegroom? And so it is where faith works in our life. We come just as we are, and we by faith say the government is upon your shoulders, Lord Jesus. Please help me. Please carry me when I can't walk. Please guide me when I'm not sure which way to go. Please hold my hand when I feel so alone. Lord Jesus, the veil of my life is upon your shoulders. So let us respect Christ, Jesus Christ, as our head, our authority, our guide, our protector, our provider, our King. And let us thank the Lord that it was unto us a child is born. Now remember that this evening. This brings each one of us in this evening. It's in the plural, unto us. This is an evangelistic appeal, promise, text, unto us a son is given. Needy sinners, that's where we come in. We're all needy sinners. And unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder as our Saviour and Lord. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Well, there are so many wonderful things about the Lord Jesus. When we think about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, we have two natures in one person, as we have spoken of before. Two natures in one person. We have the glory of the Son of God, together with the perfect humanity of Christ. Two natures in one person. That is a miracle. That is wonderful. The divine nature of God, the human nature in one person. Wonderful. For this to come about, he was born of the Virgin Mary in a perfect, sinless conception. Again, this is wonderful. How, we might say, could the Lord Jesus remain pure when being carried in the womb of an imperfect person? We know Mary was not perfect, even though the Roman Catholic Church would teach us she was. She's not, because we clearly know that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we also know that Mary said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." So she wouldn't need a Saviour if she wasn't a sinner. So something most wonderful had happened. The Holy Spirit had preserved the Lord Jesus Christ as he developed in the womb of Mary. He was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. This is wonderful. And he lived his life as a perfect human being. That is wonderful. It was mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this afternoon that he didn't cry. Well, the Lord Jesus didn't cry with anger. He never cried with anger. He had tears of anguish and sorrow, as in Gethsemane, but he never cried out of a little child does out of anger. I want this, I want that, and I'm going to cry until I get it. He never had a wrong thought. He never had a wrong word. He never did a wrong action. He never walked in a wrong way, contrary to his Father's will. And this is beyond our comprehension in the natural mind. But by faith, we believe the word of God that Christ was perfect in all his way. And the perfect one was the one who gave his life, taken upon his shoulders the burden of the sin of all those who put their trust in him. And God punished him for the sin of all those who trust in him, his people. This is the most remarkable and amazing transaction, that the perfect one became sin for us, that he who knew no sin might redeem us from sin and deliver us from sin. And that is inasmuch as he dealt with the sin. He took responsibility for it. He took it upon his shoulders and dealt with it at Calvary. But he was always the perfect one. But the perfect one suffered as the imperfect one for our sin, and so satisfied God's justice. It's wonderful, and that is why his name is wonderful. It's wonderful to be born of the Virgin Mary. It's wonderful to be the God-man. It's wonderful to have lived a perfect life. It's wonderful to have given his life upon Calvary's cross as the one and only Savior. But then he rose from the dead, and that's a wonderful a miracle. It's a wonderful aspect of salvation. We worship a risen Savior. Our Savior is alive today. He's in heaven. He's looking down upon us this evening. He's looking down in his interceding love upon his people. He's ever living to make intercession for us. He is building his church, and no one can stop him. That is wonderful. He is coming again, and he will reign in the new heavens and in the new earth. One of the conversations we had with the parents yesterday on our visits around the houses was about the second coming of Christ. It can't be long, was the statement. Are we ready to meet this wonderful man, the Lord Jesus? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Oh, Jesus is the perfect counselor. Well, there are many people that perhaps can help us in counsel from in different ways, but you know, the Lord Jesus is the most wholesome counselor. The Word of God is the most wholesome counselor for us. And you see, the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus, in the counsel of the Lord Jesus, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, is that he not only reveals the malady, he gives us the remedy. This is the gospel. The gospel reveals to us the malady, the problem, but it also brings us out of the hole and brings us the remedy. And that is something which is fundamentally true about the counsel of God. As we put our trust in him, God will make us real about ourselves. We will understand that we are a sinner before a holy God. But God doesn't leave us there. He makes us real about ourselves, but then the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's not only the Spirit of truth, he is the comforter. And the comforter comforts us, not only having convicted us, the Holy Spirit comforts us by leading us to the Lord Jesus. And so with the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a whole being counsel. It deals with the problem and it provides us the remedy and it grants to us hope. Even in a hopeless situation. You see, the Lord Jesus has a perfect knowledge of you. If you go to a counselor who is trained to help people in difficulties, they have to ask you all about the situation, and part of their pattern is to keep digging and digging and digging, and that can be very unpleasant. Especially if they haven't dug everything up, they don't actually lead you to the light. But the Lord Jesus Christ is such a different counselor. You see, he already knows about you. He wants you to pour out your heart before him, not because he needs to know about you, because he already knows about you. The reason he says to you, pour out your heart before him, it's because it's for your benefit. And in that respect, your pouring out your problem before him becomes a therapy for you. Because you know that the person you're speaking to is an understanding high priest. And he is one that really understands you. He's so different from a human counselor, an ordinary counselor, because he knows the past, the present, and the future, and he offers hope, he offers light, he offers life, because he is the perfect counselor. He has a perfect knowledge of God the Father's will for you. And he has been upon this earth, and he's experienced life for himself. You know, it says in Scripture that he was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. In some way, again, beyond their human comprehension, Christ has entered into every type of temptation and every type of affliction. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And therefore, he is the sympathizing high priest because he's been there, he understands, and he knows. But then, our text says he is the mighty God. When we really appreciate who Jesus is, then we begin to take him seriously. You see, the world would have us believe that Jesus was just a very good man who lived a very good life and left a very good example and then was unjustly crucified upon Calvary's cross. Well, it is true that Jesus did live a good life, a perfect life. He did do good deeds. He was, from a human perspective, unjustly crucified upon the cross. But he's far more than that. He's Jesus, the Son of God, the mighty God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Look out this evening, tonight, if the sky is clear, go out into the back garden and look at the stars and all their glory and say to yourself, my Jesus, the Son of God, created these stars. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the controller of creation. He is the mighty Savior. And that's what you need to tell Satan this evening. When Satan says to you this evening, well, there are certain sins that I've committed that are so secret and are so terrible in my mind that I daren't tell anyone about them. Well, God already knows. You can confess them before the Lord. And this is my message to you this evening, that it says here that Jesus is the mighty God. And when God says mighty, he means absolutely able. Absolutely able to do, save all your sins. But then, our Savior Jesus is the great judge of the world. He's coming again. And when he comes to judge the world, he'll know everything about everyone. Everything will be open, like an open book before the mighty judge of the world. And we need to be right with God. But then he is the everlasting Father. And that's sometimes a name that makes us wonder, well, is not the God the Father the first person of the Trinity, and God the Son the second, and God the Holy Spirit the third? But it's speaking here rather of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Father of eternity, in that he remains the Lord of his people eternally. He is the one who has granted through salvation the gift of eternal life. And in that sense, he is the everlasting Father. He will always be your Savior, always be your Lord, and he brings you ultimately to God the Father. He is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Isn't that a wonderful expression? The Prince of Peace. He is the one who can make us right with God. He is the one who can bring us to be into a position of peace with God. He is the one who has an effective peace and an eternal peace. He is the mighty Prince of Peace. And so this evening, just for a few moments, we've looked at some of these wonderful names of the Lord Jesus, and we've considered the wonderful blessing of casting the veil of your life, your life, upon his shoulders. And as you look to the future, dear friends, though you may be filled with trepidation, though you may be filled with uncertainty, though you may be, you're not yet knowing which way the Lord is going to lead you and direct you, I encourage you, I plead with you this evening to come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take the veil of my life. I rest upon your shoulders. This is too hard for me. But Lord Jesus, if I'm laying by faith this veil upon your shoulders, the government of my life, the government of this church, the government of the church worldwide is on his shoulders, not on your shoulders, on his shoulders. And we need to look to him and to trust in him. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.